Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 241, top of the day to you, Tom.
Bonjour.
French.
Sometimes my brain is still doing a bit of French at the moment, which is weird.
Because you're a couple of weeks out from your holiday
now? Yeah, we'll be back a week and a half. I was in Paris 2 weeks ago today. Mm. I was there for like 60 hours or something, but somehow forced my brain to remember all the French I did in school.
How much do you reckon you retained?
Oh, not much. Enough to get by, but I intentionally bogged up a lot of my French. Au revoir.
Oh, so you were seen to be trying.
Yeah.
But they would end up speaking.
Basically, here's how my interactions would go. I'd go into the shop and I'd go to pay and I'd say, bonjour, put forward my thing. And they'd say, l'anglais, which is English, l'anglais. And they'd say, oh, you speak, you're English? And I'd say, I'm Australian. And they're, they like hearing Australian.
So, then they'll speak to you.
S'il vous plaît, une baguette. And so I'd say it properly in French, but I'd say it with a real thick Aussie accent, and they get a kick out of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not, you know, I can't even try and do an American. I'm trying to do a SoCal version of someone doing French. Bonjour. Something like that.
Yeah, they'd have the R at the end for sure.
Bonjour.
I remember going.
Voulez-vous avec moi ce soir?
Ce soir? I remember going over to that place that people call Europe and being told, particularly in France, if you want someone to help you in English, like speak English, speak French to them first and also make sure that they know that you're not English.
Correct. Not English or not American.
I didn't realize American was just as bad.
Be a Canadian or an Australian or a Kiwi, you're golden.
Yeah. You're good.
They love us.
Oh, they're only human, right?
Yeah.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by pretending to speak on the phone when someone you don't like attempts to talk to you. In this day and age, though, not everyone will fall for it, because who uses their phone to actually chat to people? There's been mass confusion at the sporting fields this weekend when everybody accidentally brought along the same water bottle. Same colour, same shape. Players had no idea whose was whose, and what with the state of germs these days, didn't want to take the risk and drink out of any random water bottle. This basically happened because Watchersville North Primary School were selling them for a fundraiser. They were saving up for bubblers so they don't have to bother with any water bottles. Smart. The robots will not be taking over the world this month after it was found they had accidentally written over their AI programming with an Excel spreadsheet from Rosie Miller. It was a list of her Christmas presents that she bought for her family and friends back in 2014. The machines would investigate this massive setback, but you know, they can't because they have the intelligence of a scented candle Rosie bought for her aunt several years ago. Finlay Garrison said he's not that bothered about looking exactly like the kid that played Malcolm in the Middle. Apparently the perks of being a lookalike for an actor who was in a show that finished back in 2006 are still pretty good. In fact, last month he shot a TV commercial for hair gel that will air in another country. He's also been invited to appear in 15-year school reunions and cosplay conventions. He's raking in the money. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I got a great quiz for you.
Hurrah! I love a great quiz.
It's the kind of quiz we haven't done for a little while, and they're always quite fun, and I've purposely not edited it.
Okay.
Just so that I can see if I make a mistake.
Sure. Groovy.
Yeah.
I have a fun fact.
I actually challenged you.
You did. You gave me a specific window.
I want a year.
And I did that, and I have completed the assignment. Not going to say it's my best work.
But it's a work.
But I've got something to submit. I've got a bunch of news.
I've got some good news too. Okay, you go first.
All right, so there's been a lot of toys and merchandise for upcoming films that have trickled out, and we're getting some cool tips, insider stuff of what might be coming down the path. Lego revealed a bunch of sets for Avatar. at Comic-Con. Now, the ones they've revealed so far were tying into the first Avatar film, but they've made it very clear that there will be more Avatar sets coming very soon. So we'll be getting stuff for the film this year, and then in 2 years, and then in 2 years, and then in 2 years.
How many millions of movies are there again?
They're making five, but
I don't think they're going to get to that. That's a lot.
They're already filming like number four at the moment.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they've been filming everything in batches. Anyway, keep clamoring for that Avatar content, those of you who are. There's a Fast and the Furious Lego car coming. Now, they've done a bigger one before, but this is in scale with the Speed Champion set. They're also doing James Bond's Aston Martin in the same one. And that means we're finally going to get a minifigure Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto, and I believe, Sean Connery-based James Bond.
You could put them in there in the opposite cars and just cause lore chaos.
Yeah. Taking each other on. Likewise, we've gotten some Wakanda Forever or Black Panther 2
nice.
Lego stuff, and that seems to be potentially spoiling who may end up in the Black Panther suit.
I
won't say here because it's going to be the point of the film.
Can I ask you, though, when you were given the potential spoiler, were you surprised? Like, was that your guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it the one I want? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's adapting a comic book thing, but the actor or actress behind
the person,
yeah, is a bit. So anyway, looks like some cool stuff, and that film's coming out in a couple of months. But the one that got me very excited was for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which was meant to be out by now but got pushed back to next year and then part two the following year. Some of the merch has started trickling out to stores now, and it looks a lot like we're going to be getting some other Spider-Man for this film, which we expected, one of which is Spider-Cyborg.
Oh, yeah.
So think Terminator Spider-Man.
Hmm.
Bits and pieces of metal through the head, one cybernetic arm, all this sort of stuff.
That sounds really cool.
Yes, but the one that I'm most amped for, and I was hoping he was going to work his way in there because he was part of the comic, is Spider-Punk.
Spider-Punk. Wait, is Spider-Punk, was Spider-Punk ever, I haven't played the game or games.
Yes, there is a costume of Spider-Punk in the game. Spider-Punk in his universe is Hobie Brown, who, it's really convoluted. Hobie Brown in the main Marvel universe is the Prowler, who is Miles Morales' uncle.
Oh, okay. Yep.
In this multiverse tweak or whatever, he is Spider-Punk. He has Spider-Man's powers, but he's also in a band. And
what instrument does he play?
He plays lead guitar and shreds, as you would expect.
Yeah, of course.
Captain America, I believe, is the drummer because the band is called the Spider-Punks. And it's not Steve Rogers. It's some emo-looking white dude.
Right.
But still wearing a Captain America-style costume.
Is this along the lines of Josie and the Pussycats?
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. But think Josie and the Pussycats, but set in the like the proper late 70s, early 80s punk scene. So it's like thrash punk and Black Flag, and they reinterpret villains to be like Taskmaster, who normally has a skull face, but a particularly long fringe that comes across one eye, so he looks like the singer from the Misfits.
Oh yeah,
and it's referencing a lot of punk history and stuff like that. So I don't know, it'd be good fun.
Yeah, nice.
But he's a badass Spider-Man who runs around in a denim jacket. He's got spike studs along the top of his head to give him a metal mohawk.
That's cool.
And, yeah, his guitar is part of his superpower.
Well, I do actually have that game and I do want to play it. It might be the game that I play next, and maybe I'll go try and get that.
Do it.
That skin.
He jumps in the air and slams down on the guitar. Power chords really cool. To blast people back.
That sounds really, really cool. So that's all my toy of that news. Lego. Well, actually, I got a little bit of toy news. Mm. It's just that it's not a hey do news flash. It's just that Chloe got her first proper Lego over the weekend.
Instead of Duplo, big girl Lego.
Mm-hmm, big
nice.
Girl Lego.
4+.
Because she's 3 now. Mm-hmm. And she got Frozen. She didn't make it. She got her dad to make it, but has been showing everybody. So big thanks to Jasper who got it for her.
Nice one, Jasper.
He knows what she likes.
Cool one, cool.
I'd imagine this is just the beginning of the stuff that she's going to need. Mm. So I'm going to have to keep asking you what a 3-year-old should be getting Lego-wise.
I can help, but you know who's really got their finger on the pulse of that? Who? Shay.
Maybe we can have Shay in as an expert one time on the podcast. That'd be good. That'd be super helpful. This is a weird thing. I've got a couple of weird stories, right? And they all seem to be, they're still making that?
Oh, sure. I enjoy a forgotten series.
Definitely not talking about Grey's Anatomy, but I'm talking about The Weakest Link. Do you remember The Weakest Link? Goodbye. You are The Weakest Link. Goodbye.
They're not still making that. It's back.
Started in the US. Started in the UK, came over here.
Anne Robinson.
That's right. Very stern. Well, they've all been stern, haven't they? But Jane Lynch is the one over in the US who is being the stern.
That Anne Robinson one, the back in the 90s.
The original.
That awoke something in me.
Really?
Yeah, stern redhead.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Always been a thing.
But it wouldn't, not the Australian one, because she was a bit scary, I thought.
She was a bit scary. I didn't love the Magda Zabanski version. I wasn't feeling her. But, yeah, that Anne Robinson.
She's a bit too funny. But, yeah, Anne Robinson. So Jane Lynch, that version over in the US has been renewed for a season 3. So that's
– she loves a game show, Jane Lynch.
Well, good on her.
She's hosted a couple of them now.
She's almost one of those triple threats, you know, where they can do a whole heap of different things on TV and movies. So she's, I mean, you have a look at the cast of Glee and tell me how many are still
alive
out there. Well, yeah, that too. But out there being big names, starring, being the star of stuff. She's the one I think about. Jane Lynch. And the other one is, this one is a, you guys are going to give it another crack now. So over in the UK, everything that is old is new again. Big Brother is coming back. Mm. It's going to ITV. Maybe it was already at ITV. I think it did a few swaps around, kind of like it did over here. But it was sort of given up in 2018. But that the UK was the first one, because I remember talking to people who had been backpacking across the UK and Europe and came back around the year 2000, and they were like, there's this amazing show.
Oh.
It was massive.
Celebrity Big Brother, the first season of that in the UK, holds one of my favourite television moments ever.
Yeah, what?
Where it had a guy named Maggot, who's 6'6", Welsh rapper in the Welsh rap group Goldie Look and Chain.
They did songs. I remember you talking about them. Yeah, you like songs that, yeah.
Such as Guns Don't Kill People, Rappers Do. he's got a very thick, fucking Welsh accent.
Everything's
sing song. And it was him and Tyra Banks at 2 a.m. sat on a couch, and he was talking all this shit, and you could tell that he hadn't smoked in about a week and was struggling.
Yeah.
And she just leaned forward and she goes, Maggot, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And it just summed up the idea behind Celebrity Big Brother perfectly. Of he's this scatty Welsh rapper desperately trying to get his group a little bit of fame, and he sat next to an American supermodel who could not care less.
Yeah, she's just there promoting America's Next Top Model. That's all she cares about.
It was the equivalent of in Australia of putting like fucking 360 in the house, or putting what's his name? Cursor.
Ooh, Cursor.
Do you know Cursor? Cursor's the sickest.
Oh, it's the sickest.
He's a rapper from out near Blacktown Way.
Yeah, right.
Fucking kill ya.
He keeps it real?
Realer than most.
Yeah, right. And he would be sitting next to what, Nikki Webster or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like that?
Or I don't know. Triple J refused to play him.
Oh, okay.
That, I'm telling you, he's a hardcore dude.
Wow, all right.
So I don't know where he'd end up, but he would go on that for shits and giggles for sure.
Big Brother. But I'm surprised that Big Brother has not just been a constant over in the UK, because they love all those Love Islands and stuff.
But didn't we just have it here in Australia?
I think so. So maybe
say Ricky?
Who's Ricky?
From who? I think she was in the second series or something like that. Beloved tiny little brunette woman. She ended up marrying a farmer dude.
Oh.
She just got brought back on the most recent series.
I remember
her. She won it.
She was like, you know, the favorite Bogan of that. Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, so she somehow got back in.
Oh, she came back.
I only know about it because Tom Cardy's best mate was also on this most recent season. And so at various points he was like, hey, can you vote for my mate? He's a scab.
I've just got one more. I don't know why I've got all of the
reality. Lots. Hold off.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a reality TV show break for now and we'll go back.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about some shows that are ending, but then some more that are coming back.
Okay.
One that's ending, actually. Flash is ending with season 9. We already suspected that would be soon.
Yeah.
13 episode. Grant Gustin had signed for a 15 episode final season. So obviously trimmed it a little bit further. It's going to be held till mid season. So we probably won't get it till after Christmas. And when that wraps, that's it for the Arrowverse. Because Lois and Superman exist in their own separate thing and Gotham Knights.
Oh, okay.
We don't know where that fits yet.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Not within the Arrowverse. So it's finishing on a whimper rather than a bang. I'm really hoping that they use one of those episodes to wrap up Legends of Tomorrow because that didn't get any
completion. Yeah, it didn't get its ending.
Completion.
That was really sad for you. I mean,
it was a bit sad for me. Fan. But rather than dwelling on things we've lost, be excited for some things that we're getting some more of. Ghosts season 2, which I don't know if you caught any of that, but that's so Ghosts was originally it's a UK comedy series, and there's been 4 seasons of it, and then they've done 1 season in the US, and it was one of the smash hits of last year.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know, but it's a young family, a young couple move into a house, and all the ghosts there in the house tell their stories, and it's really good.
Which one? Have you seen both?
Yes. They're different.
Good. That's good though, right? Means that you can watch both of them.
The UK version, a lot of the ghosts are played by people that were on Green Wing.
Oh, my God. One of my favourite shows of all time.
How you don't know this show.
This is bizarre.
And the US version, like one of the main ghosts is the super camp guy from the last season of Good Place.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of improv people that you know and love are in this show.
I'm actually having some sort of crisis right now that I don't know how I'm not.
You should go home and watch this show tonight.
Yeah.
Like it jumping back and forth between the two. Anyway, season 2 of Ghosts will be kicking off September 29th, so that's not long to wait. As I say, it was one of the big breakout hits of last year, so I believe it's had a bit more budget thrown at it.
Nice.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
Kung Fu season 3 at AMC will be kicking off later in the year. They've just announced some new hires for new roles. And one that I'm particularly excited for is Moonhaven, which we haven't gotten out regular AMC yet, but has been on AMC Plus for a couple of episodes now. That's a series set on the moon in the future, and we've solved a whole bunch of problems, but we grabbed a bunch of the best scientists and sent them to the moon to try and work out how to fix the Earth.
Oh, I thought this might have been an Umbrella Academy.
No, that would be cool. Yeah. It's like a very serious police drama happens to be set on the moon.
Yeah, right.
And you can just sweep for DNA on a crime scene and it tells you the culprit. All this stuff. So the police don't have a lot to do. And it stars Dominic Monaghan, who was Charlie on Lost, and Mary in The Lord of the Rings and this sort of stuff. That's been added, picked up already for season 2.
Yeah, cool. So
very cool. And I will be catching that one soon when it bumps off AMC Plus because I'm not paying for AMC Plus.
Ghost. I could be watching it. It's on Amazon. Right. Put that on my list of things that need to be watched then.
Put it on there.
Goodness gracious me. I also saw, this is more for you than me, I don't know how spoilery this is, but for Boys season 4, they've said that Cameron Crivetti has been bumped up from reoccurring role to a series regular. He'll be playing Ryan. Maybe I should just say the name.
Yeah, Homelander's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No surprises there.
Yeah, cool.
There's a lot of rumors going around that they are trying very hard to get Jeffrey Dean Morgan for a character named Tech Knight, who is Batman smushed together with Iron Man.
Oh, he would be good at that.
He'd be great. I don't want to spoil things from the comic, but we meet Tech Knight when he is well past his prime.
I could imagine Jeffrey Dean Morgan just having the best time doing something like that.
He's a bitter alcoholic human
who has had to augment himself to try and keep up with superpowers.
Do you reckon if they get him, he's still going to do a bit of the Negan smile?
It's a touch because he...
Maybe not the sway back.
Well, he's the boy's dad on Supernatural. That's the tie because it's the Eric Kripke, the director, creator of both. He'll find a way to work all the Supernatural people in at some point, I'm sure. But, yeah. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is another big name. And, like, they've not said who, but at Comic-Con they were talking about how Soldier Boy, who Jensen Ackles played before the part was offered to him, it went out to some really, like, big-name people.
And now they're all wishing that they took it.
I don't know. It worked very well for him. We shall see. But
I don't know. I don't know why you saying that sentence made me think about a photograph that I saw of Ben Affleck over the weekend, where he was fast asleep.
Yep, on the yacht.
On the yacht. And I don't know why I found that so funny. I was just laughing. I think it was because the caption was something like, just married J-Lo, already exhausted.
There's so many pictures of that poor guy stepping outside to have a cigarette and just putting his hands on his forehead like, my fucking life. He's a very relatable dad.
I don't have any Ben Affleck news. I just, that made me think about it. But for the first time ever in the history of everness, when I speak about the Real Housewives of wherever, we're going to have a crossover. So Taylor Armstrong, she used to be in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now she's going to be on season 17 of the Real Housewives of Orange County. She's going to be a friend of the lady, so she's not going to be part of the regular crew. But what is interesting is that she's the first housewife to ever cross franchises in the history of any of these Real Housewives stuff. And I find that bizarre, right? Because how do they keep finding so many of these housewives if they're not just using them from different iterations of the series?
Like, everyone wants to get a little bit of fame.
I guess so. But I do recognize her face, or at least the earlier face when she was originally on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So it'll be good to see her having fights with people because that's all that show does.
I would rather let you punch me in the dick than watch anything to do with this.
There's a lot of them too. There's a lot of episodes.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
It's not news. I just want to give a shout out to a very cleverly named documentary series that started on History or something like that, Crazy Rich Ancients.
This is telling me I might be interested. Just big dynasties, dynasties.
I didn't even read a description or click on it or nothing like that. I just saw that. I was like, nice.
That's really good.
It's really good.
You're going to go through all the people who were really, really rich and now probably aren't. I've just got one sentence here. Actress Pat Carroll, she voiced Ursula in The Little Mermaid, died at the age of 95.
There's a lot of deaths over the last couple of days.
Just thought that one would be a nice little shout out. If you want to go rewatch Little Mermaid, it's one of, you know, some people's all-time favourites. Just watch it and go, good on you, Pat.
Good on you, Pat.
Yeah.
Speaking of good on you, people, Nick Offerman has joined Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2.
Do we know as what?
I don't know. He's going to be an authority figure.
We're going to guess, right? Will he have a moustache or not?
No. I'm guessing no. He hasn't had a mow in a while.
Could go the beard though, maybe?
He's been a bit scruffy. Actually, I say that. He's never scruffy. He's always well put together. Sometimes he's just hairier than others.
Yes.
But he's been, apart from, what's that show? The AI show. Devs.
Yes, Devs.
He was very scruffy in that. But apart from that, I think he's been clean shaven for a few years now. Excellent in The Founder, the one about McDonald's. No,
I've seen
yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
The Maccas say. With the franchise guy. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I just think he's great. And so is his wife.
They're just great. Now, I've got one last bit of news.
I've just got a trailer that I'm sure we're both going to talk about.
All right. Well, this bit of news is if you live in Gold Coast
yes.
or Brisbane, I'm sure you could travel down. Yes. But now is the time to put your hand up. Because production has begun on Godzilla vs. Kong 2, or as it's being known up those parts at the moment, Origins.
Origins.
That's the secret title it's filming.
So who do you reckon, whose origin will we be delving into?
I don't think it's to do with that. I think that's just the dummy name.
Okay, right. Okay.
It's like calling the film Red Letter.
Yeah, okay, I get you. So do you think that they're looking for extras who will be frightened and be running away from giant creatures?
I think there's a very good chance that if you've got a good terror face, Adam Wingard, who directed the first one, he's back directing this one, he might want you for his film.
That'd be so cool to say that you're in that.
Yeah, put your hands up, get on out there and don't use funny accents.
I used to work with a guy who had done a bit of extra work on a few different bits and pieces that were filmed in Australia. Some were smaller things like Looking for Ella Brandy, which is a classic here in Australia, but probably not that well known outside of this here country. Mm. But also was an extra in...
Please say Power Rangers.
It wasn't Power Rangers. It was Mission Impossible.
Two.
Yeah. And I recognised him in both of them. In Looking for Ella Brandy, he was pretending to be on a phone, like just a mobile phone. I'm busy. Sure. I'm busy having a conversation, busy. Guys. Shush.
Guys, I'm playing Snake.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's cool. So that's all starting soon, right?
Starting already.
Oh, my gosh.
A couple of days ago, production began. So you might even be too late to be an extra, but I'm sure you could lean on someone the right way. Hey, you said you've got a trailer for me?
Oh, yeah.
Back it up. Hitch it to this here wagon. Yes. Let's go.
Well, I watched the trailer for Andor. Star Wars Disney Plus original series that's coming out on the 21st of September. I watched this quite a long trailer, about 2.5 minutes. I thought that's quite a lot for that. It looks really good, looks very Star Wars-y. Got a lot of people in there that you're like, oh, you're a Skarsgård.
Yes, I did. I saw an earlier trailer. Mm. There was a lot of, oh, is that Mon Mothma when she's younger? It is.
Yeah.
Are we going to see a junior Ackbar? A not Admiral Ackbar?
She could be the weakest link host.
Maybe she is.
But that intrigues me because she said a very cool thing and I'm going to not have it quoted word for word, but she said something like, I just act really annoying so they don't know what I'm really up to.
Oh, isn't that the way?
Mm-hmm. It's a good tactic for a workplace. I remember during year 8 textiles, I didn't want to do textiles. But I learnt that if you walked around with a bit of fabric in your hand just around the classroom, it looked like you were busy. Sure. You didn't actually have to do anything. Sure. And I know people like to adopt that with a piece of paper.
In woodworking, I used to arrive and grab a handful of sawdust and put it on my shoulders because then it looks like I've been at the tools. I hated woodwork.
Yeah.
In year 4 in woodwork, Mark Wilkinson, a guy who bullied me for years and we did not get along well with because of alphabetically sorting on desks. I was next to him. He was turned around talking to his football mate, Dean Mum, wasn't paying attention and used a saw and sawed probably 2.5 centimetres into his thumb, like into the knuckle. There, his thumb. And he's ah. And I had to help him hold his thumb on and take him to sick bay, go see Matron.
Was he nice to you after that?
No, because he's a kid. He wasn't nice to me until the formal, year 12 formal, when he came up very drunk. And I've been a dick to you through school. I'm like, yeah, you have.
I'm never going to speak to you again. Is that what you said?
Tried to add me on Facebook.
you get it. You're the cool guy. You're the cool one now. He's just the lame jock.
I'm sure I'm cool. You know how I know I'm cool? Because I come with the fun fact sack.
Woo-hoo. 2006 was the year I asked you to find a cool fun fact from. What have you got?
I've got one from The Departed, which came out, of course, in 2006 and a lot of people were very excited for. Now, Jack Nicholson is in that film. Jack doesn't work too much these days, that sort of stuff. And it was a bit of a surprise to see him in there because originally Scorsese had envisioned Al Pacino for that role,
which you can definitely see. I can see that.
You can see it's a different tactic, Jack Nicholson going with it. When Jack walks off with the angel kids, the yacht in the background of the shot is the same yacht that Jordan Belfort owns in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that was unintentional because this was 8 years before or something like that, but it just ends up being a thing. And as I say, Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson, Leo, you're working with some big names. You've got your Wahlberg who's just adapting. Mm-hmm. He's not even trying an accent. That's just how he talks normally.
Yeah, just do your normal accent.
Roughly half of the $90 million budget went to actors' salaries. You don't hear of that in many films, and you don't hear that. There's not many directors who have that sort of sway, that sort of power.
I always remember, Who was it? Was Matt Damon in that?
Yes.
And was he the one that had the phone, or was it Leo that had the phone in his pocket and he was texting because he could figure out he could?
Oh, I'm guessing it's Leo. I don't know. I haven't seen that film. I've seen it once.
Yeah. Oh, this is the bit that I always remember. Yeah, I think I only watched it twice. And he's texting by feeling what numbers he's pressing.
Yeah.
And I always think, couldn't do that now.
No.
There's no way you could do it.
No. There's no little indent on the M.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably would watch that again. I did enjoy that film.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was horrendously long, which sometimes those Scorsese ones are.
And there was a bit,
it's made you yawn if that was that long.
It was a bit on the nose, some parts.
Oh, like, really? Oh,
is there a rat?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's
yeah,
a rat here.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Maybe I'll do another challenge for you. Next year.
It depends if I've forgotten to prepare one or not.
That's it.
Da-da-da, it's a peek inside the insider workings of what we do.
Da-da-da-da-da. Watching suggestions.
Let's do it. Crack them open.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I was away this weekend, busy winning Masters State Championships. So in hockey, thank you very much.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Did you get a green jacket for wearing a Masters?
No, it was hilarious, right? Because when we won the grand final in the Sydney Women's Hockey League, you get the jacket. You get a jacket. This one got a towel.
A towel. Don't forget to bring a towel.
A towel.
Everybody, come on down for your commemorative.
So funny. It was like a chamois one, you know, the chamois one.
Oh, it's not even a beach towel.
So funny. I just thought it was hilarious. So, yeah, not a lot of watching done by me. So,
hey, that's cool. I didn't watch a whole lot of new stuff. I've got stuff that I watched when I was away, but maybe we could just trim it back on the watching suggestions. Yeah. And here we go. Everyone, for your homework, I want you to watch something new this week and you can – send us a message about what you thought. I will briefly say that I did get in on some Shark Week action. You know I always love some Shark Week. Impractical Jokers Shark Week.
I knew that had to be one you were watching.
It was fine.
Oh, really?
Look, the guys are very funny at the one specific thing they do.
Yeah.
And when they're outside of that doing scripted stuff, it gets a bit hokey. And that was the case of this. Some of it was a little bit hokey.
That's a shame.
But hey, they had fun and there was a couple of challenges and stuff thrown in there and things like that. Jackass Shark Week 2.0. I've only just begun, but I'm enjoying it just as much as I did last week's.
No
craziness.
Injuries yet.
No injuries yet, but it's still very, very early days. And then the Tracy Morgan Shark Show is fantastic. He drops a lot of the silly character and just shows his genuine passion that he has for sharks, which I talked about last week, but is insane levels. He's the one that came up with the line of live every week like it's Shark Week.
That's cool.
Like he improvised that, and that's one of 30 Rock's most remembered lines.
It's funny that you mentioned 30 Rock because when you were talking about the, you know, the expensive boat in the background, it reminded me of when I think it's the first season in 30 Rock and Tracy Morgan's like, hey, everybody come to my boat and we'll have a party. So all the crew go to his boat and have a party. And then Liz Lemon's wandering around looking for something. And she opens up what she thinks is probably a bathroom door, but it's actually a wardrobe door. And there's a maid stuffed in there. And the maid's like, don't hurt me. And she's like, what's going on? And then she starts looking at things and she looks at photographs and she's like, this is not Tracy's boat. Everybody off. We're trespassing. Such a Tracy Morgan thing.
Such Tracy. But yeah, he's a little more toned down, but the passion for what he's doing is there. And he's talking to different experts and learning. So doing the Shark Week thing.
So did you see a fair bit of his tanks? Because, I mean, you said he was in tanked a few
times.
Yes,
but that's not the focus of this. This is him learning from shark experts and going out rather than hanging home. But his passion and care for it is there. The other one that I'll mention quite briefly is, you know, I enjoy my wrestling history shows and this sort of stuff. I'm still waiting for Dark Side of the Ring to come back. There's a spin-off of that called Dark Side of Comedy. It's coming soon, which is a podcast, which I'm excited for. And they're going to be looking back at, you know, very influential key comedians that aren't your Jerry Seinfeld or the big name ones.
I like that.
It's a little more toned down level.
Let me know when that starts.
I will. I will be
hammering that one hard. But WWE have a show called WWE Rivals, and that's looking at some of their strongest rivalries from the past. 45-minute episodes hosted by Freddie Prinze Jr., who I'm not sure if he still is. Maybe he's just a consultant now, but he was a key staff writer for them for almost 10 years.
And that was why we didn't see a lot of him on screen. But he's gone on to do a few things the past few years.
Yeah. But he was very influential at the company behind the scenes. And that's so it's cool. Him having a round table each week with a couple of different wrestlers, most of which are already retired, talking about the implications of this rivalry and why it stood the test of time and why people remember. And it's cool. Normally in that sort of context, you're watching people break down sports and they're talking about individual athleticism at that specific moment. Whereas because these people all understand that it's fake, or I won't say fake, but scripted.
Yeah.
These guys are actually talking about the narrative of a 6-month rivalry and stuff. And what were the key moments? Where did this person pop? Where did this person suddenly get the audience on side and stuff like that? So they're talking about it from a really critical narrative perspective.
I think that would be super interesting if you followed those storylines.
That's what I mean. It's not something I would recommend to anyone that's not watched wrestling before. It'd be a bit like, I don't understand. This is too meta. Where these are people acknowledging, we've talked before about kayfabe, which is the idea that wrestling is real. And when you are performing, you are in that world, you're committing kayfabe. You hold things up. It's weird watching a show where people are still respecting the kayfabe, but talking and acknowledging it as something that this is the business reasoning behind this on-screen decision, that sort of stuff. We don't get that from the WWE very much. They're not big at pulling back the curtain and letting us know on career choice, basically, on stuff like that, why people flipped from heel to face and things.
I think that even maybe casual, like if they're big enough names.
Well, the first episode I watched was The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. There you
go. Like people would want to watch that.
And you don't need to know much about wrestling because those guys were bigger than wrestling.
And they can talk shop and you probably end up learning stuff about wrestling.
Yeah. So the ones that I've seen so far have been so good have been Rock versus Stone Cold. And that was about two guys who at any other time would have been the top person alone and supporting an industry, but somehow these two perfect foils for one another hit at the same time and elevated the sport. There's one of Undertaker versus Kane, which Undertaker had already been around nearly 10 years when Kane debuted. Kane is meant to be his long-lost brother that Undertaker left in a burning house. So they had all this story of vengeance, and then there was the story of how they became the brothers of destruction when they were like angels of destruction when they became a tag team and all. Beautiful story there. And then what's the other? Oh, the other one that I'm halfway through at the moment is Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh, I know. I've recognized Kurt Angle.
So Kurt Angle was
the he the one that dressed as an old school wrestler?
Yes.
Like actual wrestling?
Well, he was he won gold for the USA at the Olympics in 1996.
I never knew that. So
his positioning was, I am the ultimate wrestler.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar, who won the
championship or whatever.
The amateur round of wrestling at age 17 for the country.
Yeah, okay.
And he is a genetic freak. He's the guy that's built like an upside down, like he just looks like a fridge on legs. And he
great explanation.
He's 6'6". He has no neck because his head is just all connected to shoulder. He's an absolute freak, but he's fast and angry all the time. So it was this idea of how do you put two ultimate sportsmen against each other. And when you look at them, Brock should crush Kurt every time.
Mm.
But Kurt's the guy that can get you on the mat and break your ankle.
Mm.
So it was each one of these rivalries episodes they're doing is coming at it from a very different angle. So one is being the best. Another one is amazing. Like the rich, that's the Kane Undertaker story is the richest narrative storyline that
did it go for ages?
20 years.
Yeah.
They invested so much time and effort into that long one. And then this one is about the ultimate sportsman.
Mm.
And these are guys that are used to doing real wrestling and hurting people. And how do they adjust? And Kurt Angle adjusted really well. And Brock Lesnar hurts people still to this day, 20 years later.
Right. Yeah.
He can't do the restraint thing.
I we were talking about stuff like Real Housewives. Mm. I reckon Real Housewives fans would be fascinated with this kind of show about it's their
funny
franchise.
You say that, because there was actually a spin-off called, I can't remember, but at one point John Cena was married to one of the Bella twins and the other one was married to Daniel Bryan. And they had a Real Housewives show where, you know, it was the four of them following their relationships.
Have they spoken about it since?
Well,
like the making of and why storylines were created.
Some bits and pieces. John Cena doesn't talk about it too much because it was a weird thing and it led to the breakup of that relationship.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a sore spot with some of them. But it truly made John Cena lovable to housewives. And
because that's the kind of show that they watch.
That's where Amy Schumer saw him and wanted him for Trainwreck.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in Trainwreck.
So it's one of these things of he played against type by being in a Real Housewives type show. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, God, this guy's funny.
Yeah.
This guy's not just a buffhead. He's a genuinely funny person. So to their credit, WWE tries new stuff like this. You remember I loved that Undertaker Halloween Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix.
Yeah.
They love doing weird.
Yeah. Why not?
Take their characters. They're all characters and drop that in some other world.
It's like a multiverse for wrestlers.
That's it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Look, I'll give you one other watching suggestion and then that'll wrap us up, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, very brief one, but there's a new show on True TV, who are the guys that make Impractical Jokers and whatnot. And they used to do Adam Ruins Everything. It's called 101 Places to Party Before You Die. And it stars Adam Pally and John Gubris, who they've done podcasts and comedians and very, very funny guys. And the idea behind the show is it's very much like Travel Man. They go somewhere in the continental US. They have 48 hours. They have a leave pass from their wife and kids. Adam Pally is like,
that's nice.
As I was going, my kids were like, you don't need to ring us every day. You'd be right. Go have fun. And they just have to go. The first episode's in Denver, which is where weed was first legalized.
Ah, okay.
And the idea is that they go to this place for 48 hours. And whereas Travel Man is about Richard Ayoade going to cultured places and experiencing the best, this is how do I get fucked up in this city for 48 hours.
Have they managed to avoid Vegas yet?
Oh, yeah, that's they're
working
up. It's got to
be the grand final, like the not the grand final, the series finale.
This is the first episode on Sunday. They're both laying dead on the couch. How the fuck are we supposed to keep doing this?
Yeah.
This is terrible.
What have we done to ourselves?
What have we signed up for? Yeah. We thought we were going to be travel guides, and instead we're just pained.
We're here.
So I'm not sure how many episodes there are. It's actually based on, I think, a podcast, maybe a book, but
I like those kind of travel shows though. Whether you're interested in doing partying or not, like it's interesting to watch that.
And it's just people doing extreme and fun stuff. Rather like, okay, I don't need to go to another museum.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about the museum stuff.
I don't want to know.
Show me where, you know, the good fun paddleboarding spots.
Yeah.
Wacky and
We can all find the museums. Well, I managed to get through one series on Netflix called Hard Sell. I saw Catherine Tate and I saw that she was playing several characters and I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to give this a go. So she plays several characters, including the – so it's set in a women's prison and they're going to do a musical. It's going to be West Side Story.
Sure.
They've organized to have an actress who was from EastEnders and she's going to, you know, direct and teach them how to act and sing and all that sort of stuff. But the problem is every time she walks into wherever the inmates are, they just start singing the EastEnders theme song at her. And a little bit grating for her, a little bit grating. Catherine Tate probably plays... She plays the warden, she plays a guard, and I think three inmates, different inmates, and some are horrible. Others are sort of, you know, this is my first time ever inside being taken advantage of. There's a few other actors that you'll recognize from other stuff, you know, from the UK, but also from the Catherine Tate show. And it's almost kind of like The Office kind of thing. So they're all sort of being interviewed about this, about the musical. And, yeah, it's pretty fun. It doesn't outstay its welcome, only six episodes.
Sure.
And I think that's probably enough. Bit of a, I wouldn't say a super interesting end. Oh, no, it is an interesting end, but it kind of feels like they're leaving it open for another season. And I'd be all right with that because these kind of shows you're like, yeah, I'll jump in and watch this solidly for a couple of days, and then you tell me in a year or two when you've made another lot, and I'll jump back in. I like her. I used to really like her comedy, you know, that sketch comedy show, Catherine Tate. I'm actually interested to watch it again because I think there'd be a lot of characters in there that probably they would not fly today.
It's like accidentally catching some early Little Britain.
And they were around the same time, I think. Yeah. But, she was the schoolgirl that was, am I bothered?
Yep.
But am I bothered, though? The angry grandmother who would just swear all the time. And one of my favourite ones, and it was just the same joke every time, and I don't think she was a major character, but it was just a woman who would get scared of stuff really easily. So, like, she'd be looking the other way, her husband would just be buttering toast, and that would scare her, and she'd just go, oh, honestly, Roger. Just so dumb. But, yeah, Hard Sell, it's on Netflix.
Nice.
Watch it. It's English.
I just briefly want to say that I watched another episode of The Rehearsal, Nathan Fielder's show. And Lynn sat down and watched the first double episode with me and was enthralled throughout.
Awesome.
And we started the next one. She's like, I can't do another one yet. I'm like, you're right.
Okay.
It's not that.
Is it because as the audience you have to be as invested?
Yes.
Okay.
So watching it the second time was much easier to jump into the second one. But this third episode pulled back another layer.
Yeah.
And I know I mentioned that I wasn't sure of the structure of the show. So he's now had to move in with the woman who's rehearsing at raising a kid.
Yeah.
But he's still got to keep producing the show. So by day he's moved on to the next person.
Oh, wow. So do you see the next person?
Oh, yeah. And the next person is someone who's got to have a difficult argument with his brother because his brother is refusing or is withholding the inheritance from their grandfather because the brother is convinced that this guy is with a gold digger. And Nathan.
Oh, my gosh.
It's as if he's learned from the last two rehearsals and discovers that the missing element of why people can rehearse this stuff, but they still get hit with the anxiety before they do the real one. It doesn't feel right.
Mm. Mm.
So yep. I won't say what it is, but he finds a way to get this guy to feel, and it is one of the most powerful emotive moments I've seen in anything in a long time. Of like, it just pulls back this layer of like, holy shit, this isn't a TV show. This is a psychological experiment, You've just unscrewed the top of this guy's brain and made him react exactly the way you planned.
Wow.
And you knew he was going to do this 2 weeks ago.
How do you know him so well?
It's his rehearsal thing fucking works.
That's bizarre.
But it's what he does, this elevates it from just make-believe to this guy is experiencing something for real. And it's made me realize why I couldn't describe the show before, but I think I can now. It's a continuation of Nathan For You.
Yep.
But he's added in the structure from Review, that show I loved where the host had to start reviewing real life situations.
yeah.
And the implications of his actions start having a detrimental effect on his life. That's what's happening here it's Schrodinger involving himself in the experiment. And we as the observer know he should not be doing that. It will not end well. And that's what's going on here of, Nathan, watch out.
Yeah. You're worried for him.
Yes, you are flying too close to the sun, Icarus.
Wow.
He's Willy Wonka. He's the one pulling the strings in all this thing. But by involving himself, he's tainted it. And we can see how he's tainting it. And the outcomes, the objectives he wanted can't be achieved
because
by his
there.
Because of his involvement, which is entirely the point that he's trying to educate these people in all the time of, if you could pull yourself out and plan before the situation, everything would go smoothly. Take your own advice, Nathan. And, oh, it's so brilliant. It's.
But you're now going to take it slowly, the watching?
Well, there's only been an episode a week. They only drop an episode a week.
Would you?
So I'll get another one on Saturday morning. Okay. This week's episode looks like it's going bigger and bolder. There might be a flash mob, or it's just a whole drama class that he's getting involved.
About flash mobs, yeah.
The first episode, the budget spent on the recreations made me go, well, this is clearly the big episode, but each one since then has had some big narrative step up that's gone like, oh no, that's just him being showy with money. Mm-hmm. The actual meat of what he's unpacking here is oh God, I can't. Just watch it, please, everybody.
Are you going to watch it again?
I'm going to watch it so many times. Yeah. I still rewatch Nathan For You now because I read some really good interviews with him. He got into magic when he was younger as a way of relating to other people and finding a way to have a conversation with other people. Mm-hmm. But his whole deal with the magic was that every time he started doing the magic, he knew the outcome. So it meant that he could start planning for that next stage of the interaction afterwards. This part was locked down. And watching someone do that on a grand scale of saying, here's my magic. I'm going to do this ridiculous thing. And then I'm going to spend 2 years editing it to find the very best joke. Ta-da. And that's he says that's his thing, is that he's a really weird guy in real life. And people that know him find him very funny. But like Seth Rogen raves about him as an improv guy. And I can't imagine him doing improv, but he's like, his whole deal was you could be doing a half hour scene and he doesn't say shit for 28 minutes. But then he steps up and says two sentences and they're the funniest fucking things you've ever heard. He brings the room down. That's his style. Mm. Quiet observer, prepare, wait, execute, remove. And that's just what this show is proving over and over again, is this guy clearly spends months researching these people beforehand, getting everything ready. Mm. He has flowchart software so he can input one thing and then maps out on full conversations on the walls.
Of what could
of
potentially
every direction
be said.
This potentially could go. He gets it, the guy in the first episode, when he walks into the bar to do his confession, someone's sitting at the table he planned to. That's not a problem because they already had three different potential conversations that he could have with those people to get them to move off that table.
Yeah, right.
That's sort of like, well, I don't know how you go back to normal life after doing something like that.
And also, what on earth is going to be the next thing for him? If this is where he is now, what on earth is going to be his next project?
This shit is art.
Yeah.
He is elevating. Like, it's not ha-ha comedy. There's some brilliantly funny stuff in there, but there is no way you look at that and go, this is a comedy.
Mm. I'm going to yuck it up here.
That's why I say it's part magic.
So you've seen three episodes.
Seen three of, I believe, six. I don't want to wait five more years to get something from the man.
I think you might have to. It sounds like it's going to be.
Puts in a lot of work.
Yeah, as intricate as that. There are some special people in this world.
Oh, God.
Speaking of special, are you ready for your quiz?
I'm so ready.
This is called Movie Sequel Synopsis.
Ooh.
So I'm just going to give you the synopsis.
They're back in POG form.
Exactly, that kind of thing. I'm going to try and take out any bit of info that's too obvious.
Sure.
But these are movies that we know existed. You may have seen them. I've seen most of them.
But we're not talking direct to video.
No, I'm not talking about the 7th Police Academy. I'm talking about...
In Russia.
Maybe.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's Russia.
Not talking about the Russian Police Academy. I'm talking about the second film. franchises, or maybe it's just the sequel and nothing else happened after that.
Sure. So it's generally first film's name 2 or first film's name something.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Exactly. Rules understood.
As the 4th of July nears, satellite engineer David Levinson investigates a 3,000-mile-wide mothership that's approaching Earth. Fortunately, 20 years earlier, nations across the world started to use recovered extraterrestrial technology to develop an immense defense program. Have you seen this film?
I didn't watch it.
I haven't seen it.
Very aware of Independence Day resurgence.
Very, very clever. Very close. Yeah, from 2016. I haven't seen it, but I'm kind of intrigued.
No. I heard it was shit.
Not a Sunday afternoon intrigue? No?
No.
Okay.
I've recently been burned by a lot of potential intrigues. Of ones that I was like, yeah, it can't be that bad. And then it was.
It was? Bad. Okay. Yeah. All right. This one, I'm not going to say anything.
All right.
Oh, so obvious. Former models, I'm just going to take the names away, find themselves thrust back into the spotlight after living in seclusion for years. Invited to a major fashion event in Rome, the estranged friends are surprised to see how much the business has changed.
Have you got the answers in your computer?
Yep. Did you see this one?
It's a walk-off. I did see the second one. Sacha Baron Cohen, was it? No, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Is he in Zoolander 2?
And a very...
I don't even feel like it was that long ago either for it to be that awkward.
It wasn't. It was him playing an Eddie Redmayne-inspired character.
Okay, yep, okay. So in the first film, they weren't friends originally, but by the end they were.
That's
they
right.
They were like rivals in the beginning.
He was the upstart. Yeah. Hansa was the upstart for the old man's throne.
Yep.
And then they team up.
And now they're friends who haven't seen each other having to
do whatever needed to be.
Yeah, get the band back together.
Be really, 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 really good looking again.
Exactly. When this bloke had gotten used to his daughter being married, she announces she's pregnant, making him the impending grandfather, shaken by the nearing of this new milestone in his life. He soon has to process even more surprising news. His wife is also pregnant. Reeling from these revelations, he gets to keep from his eccentric friend Franck, who conveniently has moved from planning weddings to baby showers.
Is this Species 2, Keep Your Legs Crossed?
I like that name. That's very good.
I believe that's Father of the Bride 2.
Yep.
Electric Bridaloo.
Bridaloo. Mm. Yeah, that's it. I saw this a few years ago thinking, I remember not being that good, but surely it's just as endearing as the original. It's really annoying.
I saw it once at the cinema.
It's really annoying. Yeah, very annoying. A cartoonist and family man lives a peaceful existence with his wife and their infant son and dog. Getting anything yet? Because when the curious canine finds a mask with mystical properties, the dog and the baby create chaos with its powers.
And I was surprised that when they were to make a sequel to that first one, that the only person putting their hand up to be involved was Jamie Kennedy.
I know. Who's gone on to crickets, as in I don't know what he's been in.
I'm sure he's executive produced something for MTV.
Yeah, probably. Maybe he's like in charge of Cribs or something. Yeah. Son of the Mask.
Son of the Mask. God awful. Even Alan Cumming couldn't save it.
Alan Cumming's in it.
He's the bad guy.
Oh, he would have had fun doing that.
He was particularly camp.
Yeah. Alan Cumming.
I know. Bizarre. How surprising.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if you've seen this one. Although awkward college student Todd Howard is particularly adept at science, He's paying for school with an athletic scholarship, and he will lose it if he doesn't fare well in the upcoming boxing tournament. Lucky for him, though, he's inherited the same family curse that his cousin had in high school as he transforms into this howling monster. He finds out his physical agility is and his popularity skyrocketing, but at what cost?
So it's the idea that he would have always been good at those sports because he was a tiny man. I'm
they
thinking
were both quite small, Michael, but right?
Yeah, I'm thinking because he was a tiny man, there were limitations. So yeah. It wasn't that he got superpowers. It was just that the woofness unlocked the potential. Is that it? Or is the wolf the good basketball side?
So the wolf is the good basketball side, but also the wolf is the alpha male.
Yeah.
So suddenly you go from being the non-alpha male, kind of maybe the nerd, particularly in Teen Wolf 2.
Sure.
With Jason Bateman, to I am now the alpha male. Everybody, all the ladies and everybody, look at me. I'm super cocky. And that's where the but at what cost? Because you lose your friends along the way.
As long as you don't lose yourself.
Yeah, that's right. So then, you know, at the same point in both films, they both have to lose their werewolf abilities or just not use them to win anyway. Win anyway as yourself, because this is a movie from the 1980s.
Fuck me, Dad. Can you imagine how quickly someone would shoot dead a werewolf?
Especially in America.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, my God. There's a fucking werewolf.
What is that? Do you have to have a silver bullet for werewolves or is that just?
You're supposed to.
Okay. I was wondering where I knew werewolves from recently and I just remembered. I
think if you shoot them with a normal bullet, they go down, but at the end of the night, they change back to their human form and then they're a problem the next round.
So if you use the silver bullet, both the werewolf and the human are dead for good?
Yes.
Or is the werewolf dead and the human just stays as human?
If the werewolf dies, the human's dead.
Okay.
I can't think of anything where, apart from like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything where there's a lycanthrope, which is the formal term for a werewolf curse inflicted person.
Lycan.
Lycan is the
witcher stuff. There.
Well, that's the scientific name for wolf is lycan. There you go.
Just writing that down.
Yeah.
No, I won't need to. I've recorded it.
Yeah, lycanthropic is not one you tend to come back from.
Yeah, okay. Once you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
Final movie sequel. Annie is looking forward to her cruise with her cop boyfriend Alex.
I knew you'd pick this one.
Because even the beginning, even that first sentence, that's actually only half a sentence, even that first sentence indicates that Keanu should have been in the film.
Yeah, they didn't even rewrite.
No, they didn't. We'll just call him Alex, Jason Patrick. Yeah, speed 2.
Cruise control. I imagine Tom Cruise is still angry about them using that name because that's the perfect name for his autobiography.
Why doesn't he just do it anyway?
He's got to have – his first one needs to be called Cruise Control and that's about back in the day, heady action star.
Yeah.
Then he's got to do one called something like Jumping Off Couches and that's got to be about his rehabilitation, his growth, what he learned from his divorces.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I often forget he was married to Nicole Kidman. It's just so long ago.
And then the last one needs to be called like Living, Impossible Mission or something like that. Yeah, it's about the later life.
Yeah.
Focusing on big projects.
Of course, you would like it if he mentioned something to do with Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, it needs to be a whole bloody chapter.
Let's be blunt. Something like that. And she can write, like Emily Blunt can write that chapter for him. Of what it was like working with him in that film.
I would just love to get his perspective on what it was like to do a film where he ate humble pie. I know that sounds really snooty, but his entire purpose of doing that film was the audience has come to hate me. If I give them a film where I die over and over and over and over and over and over again, that's probably going to get me some goodwill.
Be cathartic for the audience.
And so he went and ate shit in a way that Tom Cruise does not eat shit.
Yeah.
You look at his other films – Ethan doesn't get banged up too bad.
Yeah, it's not what he does.
In Mission Impossible and something, he might bang a few times on the side down the building, but he's a Superman.
What happens in what was that film? Eyes Wide Shut. Does he get the girl at the end?
He goes to a lot of fuck parties.
Right. I just couldn't be bothered to watch it.
Me neither.
That was great. You got every single one.
Thanks. I'm something of a sequel aficionado.
Yeah. Aren't you glad I didn't go for the seventh in every? Yes, although you would have been fine with that Police Academy one.
But I bail out on a lot of series like that.
I think a lot of people do, right? Mm. Second one, at least you're fascinated. You're like,
there's only so many times intrigued. I can watch bloody Littlefoot trudge his way into the what's it called? Oh, I can't even remember now. Land Before Time. Great Beyond.
Yeah. I forgot that movie was a thing, to be honest with you, that whole franchise. I only saw the first one.
I still have the rubber puppets from Pizza Hut.
Oh, nice. Did I tell you I watched a movie Big recently and it reminded me of the Pizza Hut promotions?
Sure.
I think I got a badge from there that said, you know, something about, are you really that big or... remember what the saying was, but another fine film.
Fuck you, universe, for taking away Pizza Hut all you can eat restaurants. There's a few scattered around, they're shit. I've tried most of them.
In that they just don't refill the pizzas fast enough?
No, it's just like it's very limited selection.
You do need all you can eat pizza establishments, 100%.
I just miss buffets. Fuck you, COVID.
Yeah.
Love a good buffet. Got a little bit of it when I was away.
Yeah, well, I was talking about it with Heath the other day, you know, and how that's what Vegas is. And it had a few problems and things are done a little bit differently now, but.
Oh, Vegas buffet.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy to spend a fortune on a Vegas buffet if I can be guaranteed anything I want and as much of it. I also haven't had lunch, which is probably why this is a really good conversation for me right now.
Should we wrap it up and go get some chow?
Let's go do it. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Yep, yep, yep.